Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby. And today, I'm deeply honored to have in my presence yet again, Fireman Glenn Allen, also involved with the Bajan Firefighters Charity. Welcome to Visions, Glenn.
Hello, and thank you for having me on the show once again. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be joining you.
Thanks. So, Glenn, let's really talk deep about fire prevention, firefighting, and of course, the spate of house fires we have had over the last year. Let's start by talking about how many fires have we had within the past year? House fires, that is. I'm not dealing with the commercial buildings.
Well, I don't have the stats to hand, but I can tell you there were way too many. And of course, this year, it appears that we have started along the same vein. I think that during the past 3 months, we are somewhere in the region of about 12 or 13 house fires this year. And it is of concern to our charity, and I'm sure it is also a concern to the fire department. We really must break the cycle and to get the public to focus on basic fire safety and good housekeeping.
Now, you said that we've had approximately 13 house fires between January and mid-April.
Yes, and it's quite disturbing, really.
How do we encourage and really get our citizens to understand the importance of good housekeeping, doing the necessary checks to ensure that we reduce or mitigate the electrical fires, the, you know, gas leaks, and so on?
Well, as you know, it is our charity's mandate to push the message of safety. And of course, we are so concerned that not everyone is heeding the call and taking the relevant actions that would ensure their safety and the safety of the family. We still see people at this time of the year. It's very windy on the outside. And of course, they are still open burning. This can lead to fires getting away. But the most pressing concern is the spate of house fires. And all we are asking the public to do, take 2 minutes before you rush out the door on mornings to work, check your stove, check your gas bottle, and check to see if you have the iron still plugged in. Any appliances that are not pertinent, unplug them. The only thing that we can see that you would need to have plugged in while you're away from home is your fridge or deep freeze. Everything else should be plugged out. Your television, your fan, your microwave, all of the other appliances can be plugged out. You see, what they have to understand is that even though you turn these devices off, they're still energized once they're plugged into the wall outlet. And you need to unplug those devices to absolutely guarantee that they're not receiving what we call ghost power.
Okay. Now, Glenn, you've made an extremely important point to unplug. And people might be saying, oh, there's so much hassle just to unplug every morning and then to plug back in every evening. Too much trouble. But you're underscoring the importance of doing it to prevent electrical fires.
Yes, and let me say this. If you have a relative who is unemployed or retired and they're at home throughout the day, there are some things that you can leave plugged in. But if you know that everybody's leaving home and there's absolutely going to be no one at the home during the course of the day, then your best bet is to unplug these devices.
Okay, so that's part of the electrical safety measures that we can use to prevent electrical fires. And many of us are not trained electricians, but we also can use our knowledge or our common sense, so to speak, to look at the wiring within the house and also do some spot checks to make sure that they're not faulty, wires are not exposed, because that too can lead to electrical fires.
Yes, the basic inspections can be done by any member of the household. However, we always recommend that persons bring a trained and certified electrician to do any repairs or to conduct any renovations to the system installed in your home. We would want to ensure that these jobs are undertaken by persons who are trained and certified to conduct these restorations or replacements.
Fireman Glenn, what are some pieces of equipment or devices, appliances that the average citizen can or should try to keep within their home, like the smoke alarm, the fire blanket? You know, talk to us about these type of devices and how beneficial they can be for our family.
Yes, we always advise the public to purchase smoke detectors and install them in their homes. Fire extinguishers are also excellent, and every home should have at least one ABC multipurpose fire extinguisher. As an ongoing concern, our charity readily provides and installs smoke detectors for persons who are disabled and elderly persons who live alone that we consider to be vulnerable. This is an ongoing project of our charity, and it will continue while resources last.
The fire blanket, can you explain what that is and how it should be used?
Fire blankets are wonderful, but I will admit they're not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And during our fire and life safety presentations, I always caution persons that if you are someone who is anxious or timid, that the fire blanket may not be the best tool in your toolbox in terms of your fire response. Because the fire blanket requires that the individual has to get up close to that flame to cover it, to cause the extinguishment. So I know that some persons are not, you know, they are not going to be inclined to want to get close to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe those persons are better off using a fire extinguisher. So the blanket is definitely not for everybody, because
right,
if you're timid, no, that is not going to be easy for you to do.
Right. Okay, so let's look now at the fire extinguisher. And would you recommend that every household should have one and learn how to use it correctly?
Yes, indeed. We strongly advocate that all households should have at least one fire extinguisher. And usually for the home, it is the ABC multipurpose extinguisher. We are aware that some households will have a CO2 extinguisher, but the ABC one is the one that is preferred because it can handle more than one type of fire and it's best suited for the home environment. Our charity, again, as an ongoing initiative, we provide training free of cost for persons and community groups to learn how to use effectively the fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm. Now, Glenn, as we speak about fire safety, fire prevention, let's zone in a bit on families that may have members with disabilities. How best would you suggest to the individual with the disability as well as the other family members to, you know, really safeguard themselves as much as they can in the prevention of fires, and in the event of a fire occurring, what should they do?
Excellent question, Yudeli. And we first want to remind the family members, if you do have someone in your household who has a disability, then somebody in the household must be tasked with looking out for that individual should any fire emergency take place in that household. It is common behavior that people will flee the premises, but somebody has to be tasked with the responsibility of getting granny or whoever out of the structure, because the end result would be catastrophe. I want to also suggest that families have an escape plan. The plan must be shared with every member of the family, and you should also conduct routine drills where everybody gets the feel and the experience of going through what is required should a fire take place in the home. So periodically, you should have these drills, and every member of the family or the household should be aware of what to do. If this happens, then we have to do this. We have to go here. So as part of the plan, you should have two ways out of each room. You should have an assembly point away from the actual structure where you can safely congregate to conduct a head count. And of course, your bags, your essentials, your wallet, your passport, these things are not the priority. Your priority is to get everyone out safely. If you have money in your wallet, leave that behind because these things can be replaced. Your life cannot be replaced. So we don't want persons to make that fundamental mistake of thinking, oh, I left my bag inside. My wallet is still in there. No, that is not the priority. Your first priority is to get everybody safely outside. And once you're outside the structure, your next priority is to conduct the head count. And of course, without delay, get the fire department mobilized to respond to your fire.
Now, Glenn, you mentioned looking for two ways out of a room. And we know that some of the apartments that are constructed now, and even some homes, there's only one exit. The door to the bedroom might be just a very small window. How then do we work around situations like this? And the fire may already be in progress.
Right, your first escape primarily is the door. Your secondary route of escape is probably the window. And this is ideal for the single-story dwellings. However, if you are in a two-story dwelling, you would also need to consider probably having a chain ladder that you can hang on the windowsill and climb down. These devices are readily available at your hardware stores. And you can also contact our charity for guidance on where you can find them. But like I said, your first route of escape is the door. Your secondary route is the window. So you should always have or strive to have two forms of exit from each room. For persons with disabilities, we also advocate that they be situated on what you call the ground floor, because that is probably easier for them, especially if they're using a wheelchair. We always advocate when these persons are being sighted in apartment buildings that they be placed on the lower level where egress can be made possible for them. It's also easier for a neighbor or a bystander to render assistance in getting them out from the ground level.
Right. Now, does the Bajan Firefighters Charity offer training, or are you willing to go to a home and help that family or individual work out an escape plan?
Yes, we readily provide that service. And keep in mind that you can also contact the fire department for that assistance as well. But both our agencies provide that level of assistance.
Wonderful. Now, Glenn, as a firefighter, you have been on the front line and you have witnessed families and individuals experiencing house fires as well as commercial fires. So you know of the trauma experience. Can you speak to us about, your observations?
Of course, it is a very distressing time for any individual to come home and find all that they've worked for up in flames, all their possessions, burnt to the ground. It is most distressing. And many times you can definitely see the anguish and despair on the faces of those displaced. And that's why it's so important to take precautions. Just that 2 minutes on mornings can make the world of difference. The irony here in Barbados is that many of the persons who find themselves in this situation may not have the wherewithal to restart and are heavily dependent on the state agencies to offer that measure of assistance with relocation, getting themselves back up and, situated. So yes, it can be extremely distressing. It's even more distressing when we have a loss of life where there's somebody who did not make it out of the structure. And let me say this, it's not only distressing for the family members, but it's also distressing for members of the fire department, because sometimes the persons that are, killed in the fire, maybe children or the elderly or persons who are disabled. In Barbados, the three categories of persons that we most likely will have die in a house fire are the elderly, disabled, and children under the age of 10. But either way, it is distressing for the responder as well as the families who are impacted.
It's distressing all around because I remember listening to a few news stories where children perished in fires. And, I felt emotional about it. And then when I heard the personnel involved, both the police and the firefighters, I also heard the emotion in their voices as well. So, as you correctly said, it's emotional and very distressing for everyone involved in this.
Yes, it is. And keep in mind that the fire officers, we have family members too. We're fathers, we're brothers, we're mothers, we're sisters, we're uncles. So we identify and we have the empathy because we understand how these persons are feeling. And we can imagine what it would be like if it was one of our family members as well. Sometimes it is. Sometimes when the fire department turns up at the scene, the persons being impacted are actually relatives of the fire officers. So that makes it even more distressing. And we do have in the fire service counseling and stuff for these situations, but like I said, it is distressing all around.
Okay, as we look down the road, Fireman Glynn, what are some of the recommendations or some of the things you really would like to see happen to improve the delivery of fire prevention, fire safety, the services from the Barbados Fire Service Department, as well as what would you want to encourage, individuals, citizens to do?
Well, I, for one, would like to see the culture in Barbados change as we deal with fire safety, because there are many persons who take fire safety for granted, and it only comes home to them in a personal way when they are directly impacted. I also want the public to understand that matters of fire safety do not exclusively rest with the Barbados Fire Service. We all have a responsibility to play our part. If you see something, say something. Do not wait to when your neighbor's house burns to the ground or somebody loses their life to say, "Oh, well, yesterday I saw this happen to that house." If you saw something arcing or sparking on the person's house, report it. If you smell a strong odor of gas or some unusual smell, report it. Do not wait when something adverse happens to say, "Oh, shoot, I should have called." We want people to take responsibility. Fire safety is everybody's responsibility.
I quite agree with that. And we're now approaching the summer holidays, and we know that during this period there tend to be several grass fires. Sometimes people try to get rid of cowhage and other things and they light a fire. Speak to us about this.
Well, it is the dry season, and it is common to find persons cleaning around their homes. And quite often, they will pile everything in a heap and they will light a fire. We want to encourage persons to desist from this kind of behavior because it is extremely windy right now. And the likelihood of that situation getting out of control is immense. So, what we would prefer is that persons bag those leaves, bag those trimmings, and put them next to the road for your garbage pickup. They will pick them up. So there's absolutely no need to light a fire. Also, persons can create what we call a mulch pile. These things will biodegrade. Your trimmings from your hedge, your leaves, if you pile them up, they're going to biodegrade. So there's no excuse really to light a fire. We have this thing in our culture that we must get up and clean up and light a fire. And it is causing numerous persons headache when the day come, especially if they have allergies and they find themselves down at the QEH to be nebulized or to receive some kind of medical attention. There have been numerous complaints, and we really want to encourage the public to desist from open burning, especially at this time during the dry season. It is extremely windy.
Okay, so Glenn, we've looked at electrical fires and the possible preventative steps that can be taken. We've looked at the grass fires. Let's look now at the gas, the natural gas or the bottle gas. How can we safeguard ourselves within the homes in terms of this specific area?
I'm glad you asked because just last weekend, we did a fire and life safety presentation at a church, and that was addressed because we are still finding that some persons will put the 20 or 25 pound cylinder in the cupboard. It looks better hidden away, but what they don't always appreciate is that if there is a leak, having that gas cylinder in the cupboard, you're going to have gas building up inside your cupboard, and you don't want that. You must never put the gas cylinder inside of your cupboard. Also, we want to remind the public of the measures that the manufacturers are recommending, whereby the routine changing of the hose and the head on your cylinder, those things must be replaced periodically. If you're not sure, you can reach out to your provider, Rubis or Sol. They are readily available to provide you with guidance on how to do this and who should do it. We do not advocate that persons become overnight technicians and try to tamper with that regulator head on their own. Do not tamper with the regulator head if you are not trained to deal with it. Let the professionals come and replace it. And of course, the hose, they're readily available from the hardware. The hose can be replaced, but when you are finished, you need to test it. A little soapy water to make sure there is no leak. Once you follow the basic guidelines that the manufacturers have provided, all should be well.
Great. And I think this again is useful information because so many of us just take it for granted. Well, we use the gas and that's good. We are able to just go to the gas station, purchase, or have the large cylinders delivered and we are good to go. But as you're pointing out, it's really critical that we check these devices on a regular basis so that we know what is the appropriate time to change to avoid, a gas explosion or a fire.
Yes, and for persons who have what we call natural gas, like I said, if at any time you're smelling any unusual odors, do not hesitate to notify the corporation or the fire department. Let them come and have a look at what is happening at your residence. Do not hesitate or waste time if you continue to smell an unusual odor and you believe it is your natural gas supply.
Okay. And as we talk about the gas and so on, another occurrence that sometimes create fires is cooking on open flames and there's a explosion. How do we deal with this?
Well, first of all, unattended cooking is one of the leading causes of house fires, and we strongly recommend that persons, when they are cooking, they should not leave the stove unattended. That's the first thing. Two, It is quite common to see in Barbados, in the kitchen, people having curtains, or we call blinds, and these curtains extend all the way down to the stove top. You don't want anything hanging or dangling over the stove where you have those open flames. You should actually desist from putting curtains around the stove. Anything that is combustible, fabric, plastic that can catch fire should be kept away from the naked flames on top of the stove. I also want to stress young children should be kept away from the stove. Having infants in the kitchen, underfoot, close to the stove, is how many children end up getting severe burns or scalds. You want to keep children in the fire-free zone around your stove. If you have a chair, strap that child into the chair or remove the child from anywhere near the kitchen. But it's not safe to have young children directly in front of the stove where they can reach up and touch pots and pans that are actually on the stove.
Again, that's really good advice because sometimes in our effort to have the baby or the toddler or the young child in eyesight, we will make these type of decisions and have them pretty close to the stove or to dangerous things, you know? So that's great advice, Fireman Klein. Now, as we get ready to wind up the program, what are some of your thoughts surrounding the future and how we again as a country can take firefighting, fire prevention, fire safety to the next level?
Well, firefighting is already evolving. As you look around, you'll see that lots of technologies now is being brought to bear as it relates to firefighting, both locally and internationally. With regard to fire safety, our charity will continue to be at the forefront of pushing the envelope, trying to get persons aware and educated. We have created a portal on our website. We call it the help desk, where we are building out this page where the public can go to get information and seek guidance. So that is something that we are going to elaborate on further this year. But the page is already up, and we will be updating and modifying the information there as time progresses. But apart from that, because we recognize not everyone is on social media, not everyone is online, and I'm one of the first persons who strongly advocate the need to go out into the community. We must continue to pound the pavement, and I can guarantee the public that the engagement that they saw last year from our charity will continue. We intend to come out a lot more often and to have that interaction with churches, community groups, 4-H movement, PTAs, any community-based organization, you are free to invite us. We will come and we will conduct the fire presentation as well as demonstrations. We are still offering free training to community-based groups. So if you have a club in your community, football club, whatever, we can come and dispense some fire safety information with you, and of course, get you down the path of doing the correct things where fire safety is concerned.
Well, Glenn, Aline, it really has been very instructive and informational chatting with you today. And I appreciate the information that you have shared with us so that we can really put steps in place to prevent fires and to keep ourselves and our families, as well as our communities, safe. So thank you very much for being on Visions today.
It has been my pleasure. We serve the public and we will continue to do so throughout our 10th anniversary this year, a decade of building resilience and serving the communities in Barbados.
Thank you very much. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yodely Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest, Fireman Glenn Allen. from the Bajan Firefighters Network. So remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. And you can check the VOB929.com website for this and past episodes. And if you want to, you can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbors just as much as you love yourself. Until then, ciao.